Hi, this is Gary Jock, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
My name is Adam of Grayskull. When good is threatened by the power of Eternia, I have the power! I was summoned to the future by the last of mankind to defend them in their hour of need. But my old enemy, Skeletor, followed me. Now, here in the future, he has found new allies to help him in his never-ending fight against all that is good. Yet on Primus, I too have found new brave friends and a new family. Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic, we struggle against the forces of darkness. Good against evil. The battle continues.
Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 84th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, as always, is TFG1 Mike. Hello. You sound like you're ready for another trip to space, sir.
No, not at all.
Mike is begrudgingly continuing this journey with me. He's like the one in the back seat that's just like, are we done yet? Are we there yet?
People need to pay us to continue this. That's all I'm saying right now. People need to pay us to continue to watch this crap. And the funny thing is, in between last episode and this episode, our good friend and super fan Tim Silvers, Toon Master Tim on Twitter, he is like you. He has never seen this series. So it's going to be fun reading his comments when he eventually comments on the website. Oh, God.
So in this episode of Masters in Space, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of the series. Episode 4, Attack on Honor. Episode 5, The Ultimate Challenge. And Episode 6, Sword and Staff. So we hope you're ready. It's time to go back into space.
I must get to Werben before he does. Way of the magic, show me the way.
Alright, first up today is episode 4, Attack on Honor. Apparently the fourth part of this five-part opening series.
Before you start this, where in the hell on the internet does this say that these first five episodes are a five-part story? Because none of this shit makes any sense.
Multiple sites claim this to be a five-part opening series. Mm. So I don't know where they're getting that from. But air date around September 13th, 1990. Still written by Jack Alesker, like the last three episodes. Skeletor tricks Werben into lowering the shield of protection, allowing the mutants to attack the City of Honor. Can He-Man stop the attack in time? So I haven't been reading the characters, and I don't know if I ever will, because there's so many characters in every episode. There's just a crap ton of characters that appear. So all the usual suspects.
Yeah.
Basically.
I think the interesting thing here is we have Rot or Grot or Groot or whatever the hell his name is.
We do get Grot here, and obviously a little bit more on Werben, which we've seen once before, but we get to see him a little bit more now. But otherwise, it's a lot of the main people, and some people that we still have not heard their names on the episodes, and we haven't heard them speak.
Yep.
So we'll wait on those guys. But what did you think here of the next plot here, where they're tricking the good guy into helping them out, lowering their shield, and they're going to attack?
So last time, at the end of last episode, we said something about the Quagme or Quagmire or whatever the hell the stupid... It's actually the Quagme Swamp. I made a note of that into my general thoughts. Nice. And please, can we stop with the long-ass recaps? Like, they take 5.5 minutes of a 22-minute cartoon and recap the previous episode. No. You take three scenes, make it about 2.5 minutes long, and that's all we need. Oh my God. The recap in this episode was so... I was like, I feel like I watched the episode before this already right now. Oh my God.
So, not a fan of the plot of this one?
The plot... it's okay. It's not... it's your standard villain tricks, you know... villain makes magical necklace, puts it on dumb good guy, and turns him evil. I mean, we've seen this before. And not just in He-Man stuff, not just in Filmation, in everything. Just look at what happened 3 years before this cartoon aired. Look at 87. You know, Evelyn with her magic eye and whatever else fooling Julie. I mean, it's the same damn thing.
Right.
So, I mean, the plot here, like, there's nothing other than the fact that Skeletor is trying to destroy the key, so, you know, we don't need the air shield anymore, and everybody needs to start sucking cans of air. I swear to God, every time they bring up the stupid air shield on this stupid planet, I'm going to mention Spaceballs, because that's what it fucking reminds me of.
I didn't even think about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It is very standard. Kind of just run of the mill. It comes down to if they actually make it interesting or entertaining along the way, because there's nothing really to jump up and down about as far as the plot goes. Like you said, standard villain uses a trick to make a good guy give them a way in. We've seen this before within the He-Man universe, especially as far as getting into the castle and stuff like that. So nothing major there. So what about anything you liked about this episode? Come on, be positive.
Skeletor's laugh is just crazy weird. There's a, yeah. I think it's gonna be in the audio here somewhere in the episode that I grabbed, but there's a scene where it changes from Master Sebrian or whatever. It changes from the good guys to the bad. We go to Flog and Skeletor. And the beginning of the scene is partially it's music, and then it's just Skeletor cackling like a loon. I thought that was hilarious. Like I said, Campbell Lane as Skeletor, as the voice of Skeletor, I like. I like Skeletor's voice.
Skeletor, I gotta hand it to you. You know what you're talking about.
Just what I always wanted, a compliment from a mutant.
Such genius. And now?
Now, my dear, the real fun begins. Oh, yeah.
The other thing that I noticed, we've heard Campbell Lane before.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't really go through any of his other credits, but as I'm listening to Skeletor, you know who pops into my head?
Which one?
Rampage from Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. the other thing I did like was the exchanges between Skeletor and He-Man in this episode. They're just going back and forth like an Abbott and Costello routine.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Other than that, what do you got?
Man, we got something positive out of Mike, everybody. That's
what Oh, I'm it's going here. To get worse.
I hear you mentioned the narration as a minus or as a bad part.
It's not the narration. It's the fact that it goes on so damn long.
Nope. Stop. I'm going to turn that into a positive because the episodes are now only 19 minutes because of the introduction, the intro music, the narration. If you skip all of that and start at the actual episode, you only have to watch about 19 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're shaving off about 3 minutes off the episode at least. I think this is a Skeletor line, but yeah, it is. He's talking to Flog or somebody on the ship. He's like, "We don't just go down there and blah 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 blah." He literally says that.
Well, yeah, he says we don't just go down there, blah blah blah, just shoot up willy nilly and whatever else. And no, we're going to have a plan, Flog, and it's going to be the Skeletor plan.
Yeah, I thought that was a great line because it just shows Skeletor's just so far above these guys mentally and all that type of stuff. The monster he summons out of the ground, that reminded me of Filmation He-Man. You know, that's like the sand monster or the rock monster or, you know,
anything that comes out of the ground on Eternia.
Yeah, worm or dragon or whatever. So I thought that was cool because that was very Filmation-esque to do that. So and I liked Grot. I thought he was cool.
Yeah, Grot was cool. I don't necessarily have a problem with Grot's character. I don't have a problem with his voice. I have a problem with who his voice is. Not the per the per, but I have a problem with the voice director here. Gotcha. Because, and I'm not going to turn this into mutant moments yet, but you get Gary Chalk voicing He-Man.
Right.
Gary Chalk is also voicing Grot. So it's right. He's talking. He's basically pulling a Frank Welker, where it's like, you know, there's a famous thing. As we're recording this, we're about 3 or 4 days removed from the news that Wally Burr, legendary voice actor Wally Burr for Transformers, G.I. Joe, Gem, all that stuff, has passed away. In one of the Frank Welker stories from a Wally Burr session, it's Frank doing two different characters, and Wally comes in and says, "Oh, Frank, you," and everybody's like, no, don't stop him. It's him doing two different characters. So the thing with Gary here is his Grot voice is just slightly deeper, and it's more down out of his gut than his traditional He-Man voice, and it just feels weird. I wish they would have gotten a different person to voice the Grot. I like the voice of Grot because it's Gary Chalk, but it just seems weird that he's talking to himself.
The other thing that seems weird is, do they have an obsession with naming people somewhat similar to superhero names? Because we got Gleep instead of Gleek. We got Grot instead of Grod. We got, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of these names that are very similar to stuff we would see in like a superhero show. So that's just odd. But any other good moments, or should we move on to mutant moments?
I'm trying to think. There was something else. I didn't write it down, but there was something else now that I'm going back and thinking about this episode. We can clearly see that Skeletor is about done pretending.
Yeah, he's exerting more and more control over things.
Yeah.
Definitely, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
As far as mutant moments for me, are we changing the story here as far as who Adam is? Because I thought we were going to pretend that Adam was Sebrian's nephew.
Well, are you talking about where someone said the fact, what'd she call him, a merchant, or
He calls him a merchant.
Oh, okay.
He's like, well, go talk to the merchant in wherever he is.
Yeah.
He knows He-Man. And it's like, wait a second, you said that was your nephew. Why are you going to call your nephew the merchant?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
Those are some pretty juicy cacti. The amount of water coming out of those cactus trees, or whatever you want to call those things, was a little bit ridiculous. I know that that's a thing, that like you can get water from cactus.
But now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to interrupt this show, but I have to. Because now we go to the old Adventures of Little Koala outtake from years and years and years ago, and you guys can hear just how wet everything is.
For now, I am TFG on mic with
the one and only Optimus Solo.
Now, people, listen to the 30-second...
Fuck!
Listen to the 33-second clip.
Yes.
Listen very carefully.
Do it.
Also, along those same lines, did water just weaken Skeletor's staff?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing?
Water just weakened his staff. Water also weakened the monster, because the monster apparently is afraid of water.
I'm going to start carrying water around more often. What about you? Any mutant moments for you?
I've got a whole list. Okay, so we've complained about Skeletor's design to this point. We're only, 22... Wow. I almost fast-forwarded this show to episode 106. We're only two podcasts into this series, and we've talked about how Skeletor with the gray face or the green face or whatever color it is, plus his, red, yellow, and blue, or red, blue, and whatever, and the pink and purplish cape type thing. I could have sworn Skeletor's face in the previous three episodes was more of a grayish type color, not dark gray, not light gray, but somewhere in the middle there. And in this episode, it's fucking green, and I'm like, what is he doing, turning into the Hulk or something? And apparently nobody should ruin the mutant's garden. What the hell? Or the Grot's garden. And I'm like, really? A gardener? Really? Seriously? That's the explanation you're going to give us of how the entire planet gets food? Because they don't really say... They say that this is where this village or whatever, but I could have sworn they made it sound like, you know, he grows the food for the entire friggin' planet of Primus. The power of good and the power of Grot. What fresh hell is this?
Yeah.
So the chick, you know, Adam, how can the merchant help us? So she is the one, whoever the girl is, Mara or whatever, she's the one that calls him a merchant. His Sebrian doesn't, she does. And my own first thought is she supposed to be a stand-in for Teela? Is the first thing.
Teela, yeah, I'll get into that.
Yeah.
At some later point.
Okay. So, Adam, so she goes and gets Adam and asks him, how do you know how to contact He-Man? We don't have time for that now. Okay, Ultra Magnus. Seriously.
That's wonderful news, Alcon. Now that your invention can locate the cracks in the shield, we can...
Adam! Adam!
I'll speak with you later. What's wrong, Mara?
Werben has stolen the key from the Vasionic Resonator. The shield has been lowered.
Skeletor. Is Master Sebrian all right?
Yes, he's fine. He wants you to contact He-Man at once.
Yes, I shall.
How do you know how to contact He-Man?
We don't have time for that now.
I can't deal with that now.
Transformer reference number one.
I've already made other ones. Tell me, Sorceress, where can he be? Seriously, the Sorceress is your GPS system? Really? Come on. Way of the Magic, show me the way. What the Thundercats? Hello, Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond... Are you... All this series is doing is basically ripping off things from other cartoons and movies. I mean, media does this all the time, but... Oh, this is really pissing me off.
I like watching you get frustrated.
Defeating the villain with water. Well, at least he didn't, you know, lift up the entire lake and dump it on them.
Yeah, got that. Go on.
And the PSA. It's always safer to make two trips, which I guess is an okay PSA, but whatever. I didn't even realize this series was going to have PSAs, because I figured by the time 1990 came around, all the PTA groups were done bitching about action cartoons.
No, not yet.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. How about some hardware?
Havoc staffs to everybody. Except for... except for
do this every time.
Yep. Havoc staffs to everybody except for Skeletor.
Boring stats at the end.
Yep, pretty much.
I just have a Havoc staff for Werban because he's kind of a tool.
Yeah, he is.
And I got a power sword for Grot. Grod.
Yeah, I'll give one to Grot and I'll give one to Skeletor. Skeletor's humor in this was great. I thought that was really cool.
All right, sir. How many Galactic Guardians do you give this one?
3. This is it's not bad. There are some bad things with all the ripoff lines and things like that, but it's not. The plot made sense, but at the same time, it didn't really do anything to further the story for me, so it's middle ground at best. What about you?
I'm at 3.5. I had fun with it. Even though it's nothing to write home about, I thought it was just enough over the average mark. Like, it's real close to just being an average episode, but just a tiny bit above it. So That's where I'm at for that one. All right, we come back. We'll go to the fifth part of this five-parter here. The ultimate challenge coming up after the break.
I will let the way of the magic and the power of the good be my guide. For
by the power of Eternia,
I have the power.
I must go to beat Skeletor, Master Sebrian. It is my destiny.
Alright, next up is episode 5, The Ultimate Challenge. Somewhere around September 14th, 1990, still written by Jack Olesker, Skeletor offers He-Man the ultimate challenge by challenging him to a fight to the finish that will end their war once and for all. He-Man accepts the challenge in case it ends the war, but is Skeletor really planning to fight fairly?
No.
Supposed to be a key episode for He-Man and for Skeletor's development here. A few less characters, but still the regular people so far. Nothing really new in this episode as far as new characters that we're seeing. So what do you think about this battle to end all battles?
Was there a battle? I didn't know. I mean, because they both go to the asteroid, and then all of a sudden, the comedy relief shows up and Skeletor disappears because he assumes He-Man cheated, and of course Skeletor is going to cheat by doing some magical asteroid trick. Yeah, there wasn't really a battle here. I mean, Itchy and Scratchy have better battles on The Simpsons than this one.
I do like the idea, though, the idea of, hey, screw all this, you know, MacGuffins and different things. Like, we're just gonna fight. Let's fight. Let's see.
But they didn't. I like the idea, like you do. But they didn't fight. They did. They didn't really do any. That's the problem. You can, you know, you can like an idea, but if the idea is not executed at all, not even being executed well or poorly, if they don't do anything with it, then what the hell's the point?
Right. I'm just talking about the plot idea. Yeah, the idea of the story and the premise of the episode. Like, I'm on board for the premise. Like we always say, when it comes down to the execution, that's when we get all into our good and bad moments. But, yeah, I like the idea of what they're doing. Was it executed perfectly? No. Was it executed terribly? No. It's somewhere in the middle, like almost every episode has been so far. What do you think? Good things that stood out for you?
Hey, look, an 87 movie reference with Skeletor appearing in the sky. Because the first thing, Adam and Sebrian are down there, and all of a sudden, this giant head in the sky is exactly like the battle at the beginning of the 87 Masters movie. Skeletor, while ugly as sin, is funny as hell. He's a funny guy. I like Skeletor. I like how he's constantly trying to bring the comedy. I mean, Alan Oppenheimer Skeletor brought a lot of comedy and things like that, but with the design that this Skeletor has, you don't expect him to be that funny, and he actually is. Holy hell, this kid actually listened and followed instructions. Wow, I was not expecting any child in any Masters of the Universe cartoon ever to follow instructions. And the PSA was about calling your local Red Cross.
That's the most bizarre left field PSA ever. Oh my god.
What about you?
I don't really have a lot, except for I thought the action was decent in the episode, and I thought it was a decent idea for a plot. Like, I don't have, like, moments that stood out, but I thought overall it was, like, enough entertainment as far as the action back and forth and chasing each other and maybe they're gonna fight, maybe they're not gonna fight, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, I was entertained, but there was nothing that stood out like, oh, that was a great moment. So I'm kind of just in the middle of the road on that.
Yeah.
What about mutant moments for you?
Surprisingly, I didn't have a lot in this one, other than the fact that the stupid mutants, or not the mutants, the stupid scientist, of course the idiots overload the damn thing.
Yeah.
Morons.
To be expected.
Yeah.
What about nothing else negative?
Just that one.
Okay. Well, quick episode here, not much to talk about. What about Havoc Staffs or Power Swords?
I'll give a Havoc Staff to all the scientists. Power Sword I gave to He-Man and to Kaz, because Kaz actually, like I said, listened to and followed instructions.
Yeah, I'm with you on the He-Man thing. I had a Power Sword for He-Man as well. I thought he was pretty cool in this episode. First time I've kind of liked him and where he stood out. Usually it's been Skeletor so far that's been the only standout, but I thought He-Man was decent in this episode. So, what about a rating for you? You were at 3 on the last one. What are you on this one?
3.5. It's mediocre, bordering on good. And the reason why it's bordering on good more so than mediocre is because of some of the exchanges with He-Man and Skeletor, even though the execution of them fighting, they still had good lines between each other, good, you know, back and forth.
I am hero, so villain. Shocked we have Mike giving good scores here, folks. As much as he's pooping on the series, that's a 3 and a 3.5 out of him.
And it's going to get worse.
That might be the best we were getting. All right.
Yeah.
We're take another break and see if we can continue this upward climb with episode 6. We're out of the 5-parter. Let's get into Sword and Staff next.
Wait, you didn't give your score.
I'm the same as you. 3.5.
Oh, okay.
3.5. Sorry, I was so shocked by your positive score that I'm staying the same. I was 3.5 and 3.5. So I'm
okay.
They're just, like you said, they're just barely above, they're like above average, bordering on decent.
Yeah. All up right. Next, Sword and Staff.
Defeat after defeat, failure after failure. I wanted to go down in history as the greatest villain of all. I wanted to rule the universe. Here's my kingdom, a bunch of dumb rocks. Oh, yeah, some villain, sure. Villain, my foot. Oh.
Skeletor here.
We need you back at the base, immediately.
Yeah. Sure.
All right, last one up today is episode 6, Sword and Staff, somewhere around September 24th, 1990. Might be done with the 5 parts, but we're not done with Jack Olesker. Skeletor finds a powerful crystal within Moon Nordor, which can temporarily change any living creature with incredible power. He-Man must stop Skeletor before he charges his whole army with the power of the crystal. That's like the power of the good that can enable them to destroy Primus. This is a key episode for Skeletor, according to whoever writes these things. All right, so we get the main group a little bit more from Hoove, Quake. Get a little bit more from Quake as he's the first one that gets the crystal treatment. Otherwise, it's mainly a lot with He-Man and Skeletor again. What did you think about this this crystal idea that's going to power each one into like Hulks?
Was there a kingdom of a skull in here somewhere?
I don't think so.
Good. Because this episode is probably better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I like this. I knew from the beginning, like, when Skeletor was building up Quake to flog. I hate all these damn names. Slushhead is the only name outside of Skeletor that I actually like out of the villains so far. I knew at some point Skeletor was going to end up being the one to have the power, because Skeletor always wants the power.
Right. No, true that. I don't... This one, the plot doesn't necessarily wow me. Like, okay, you got some... It's just another thing, you know, we're going to have another MacGuffin that's going to power your army and give you a shot at stuff. But I thought it was cool the way they found it, so, and I like the execution of the plot. On its own, just as an idea, it's kind of whatever, but I do like the way that it came about. Oh, we forgot the dog, Gurr. What did you think of Gurr, Skeletor's dog?
Oh, I'm like, Gurr, what are you talking about?
The present, yeah. They give Skeletor a present, which is weird.
Gurr, it reminds me of Orange Yoshi, and Yoshi wasn't even around. Well, Yoshi was in development. I don't know. Gurr was all right. No, yeah.
It's a good way to find where they ended up at, I guess.
Mm.
All right, well, like I said, I like the execution, the plot on its own, eh. But I do have a lot of good moments for this one.
Good, because I only have two.
I thought it was a great intro from Skeletor.
Yeah, the opening was great.
He's just like on kicking around, like, I'm a villain and all that stuff. That was a great. I actually captured that audio because I liked that a lot. I liked Sagittar. I don't know how to say his name, but the guy that shows up, like, the it's almost like. In the actual Filmation series,
yeah.
Or even in the one that we haven't gotten to yet, where we randomly meet like people that become masters. Mm-hmm. That's what it reminded me of. And he almost had the look of somebody like he looked like a combination of Mechanek and somebody else. But I thought that he looked cool, so I liked him. I liked that they finally gave us a little bit about one of the mutants. Besides Slushhead, we got to see Quake and hear from him a little bit, so that was interesting. And I thought there were some layers here. They're like, at one point, they're talking about the fact that they're not fighting good or evil or this or that. They're fighting a substance, which is kind of an interesting way to try to kind of get an underlying, like, almost like a drug.
Just say no to drugs, kids.
Yeah, it's almost like a way to do that, but it's subtle enough. It's not like over the head.
Yeah,
that's nailing you with it. So I thought it was fun because he's like, "How does one fight such a foe?" So I thought that's an interesting way to try to bring that into kids. So I liked a lot of this episode. What are you?
The only other thing that I liked about this, and I don't know because I have not watched past this episode, obviously. I hope the redesigned Skeletor stays. I like the redesign. He looks awesome. Because there were so many moments in this when he was dealing with the power and things like that. The redesign of the character for Skeletor here, again, I'm going to keep referencing it in this podcast episode anyway, reminded me of Langella's redesign when he got the staff at the end of the 87 movie and he got all the power and whatever else. So I'm hoping they at least keep the redesign for maybe one or two episodes, because the redesign is a much better improvement than his original design.
Yeah, I agree. And it has kept changing so far, but maybe they'll stick with this one. We'll have to wait and see. What about any mutant moments for you?
Flog is so damn gullible. You might as well not even have the guy here. I mean, Skeletor can just, you know, whisper some sweet evil thing in his ear, and Flog is like, "Ooh, hey, aha, I'll go along with you, Skeletor." And Tic-Tac-Toe, really? He's like, "Where have I seen those symbols before? Oh, God."
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Alrighty then. As far as Snake Mountain moments or mutant moments for me, I don't have any because I enjoyed this episode a whole lot. As far as hardware, I will give a power sword to He-Man and Skeletor. I liked a lot of both of them. This is finally an episode where I enjoyed both of them. I've liked both of them independently, but I like both of them together in this episode.
I agree. One each for them, two for me.
Alright. Any Havoc stats for you?
No.
All right.
The scientists weren't here, so...
There we go. That's a positive. What about Galactic Guardians? What rating do you give this one? You were at 3, 3.5?
I give it a 3.
Back down to 3.
Well, I like the whole He-Man Skeletor power thing, the redesign of Skeletor. Still, the overall plot is not... is nothing to write home about. I mean, you know... This is 1990, where we have Tiny Toons, where we have Ice Ice Baby, where we have all this other stuff, and it's like, really? The best you can do is a sort of half-assed homage to the 87 movie, which is only 3 years old at this point?
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that when I was watching it at all. It's interesting. I'll have to rewatch it with that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not rewatching anything.
I'll tell you right now, once we get through all these episodes, I'm never watching this series ever again.
Yeah, kudos to Toon Master Tim for actually buying these on DVD.
Yeah! You wow. Wasted your money, Tim.
Well, I mean, more power to you that you own these, but you might want to put them up for sale after you watch them. All right. For me, I'm giving this one a 4. This is my favorite episode of the series so far.
Wow.
I just liked a lot of things about it. I liked the Quake, the Sagittar, the He-Man Skeletor moments. I thought it was well-paced, entertaining. I mean, it wasn't like, it didn't have that extra, like, special moment that makes it like a 4.5 or a 5 or anything.
Yeah.
But I didn't have anything to complain about, so I have to give it a 4.
The one thing I will say about this episode, and the one thing I'll say about the series going further, I hope they do not do what they did in this episode every single time that Adam is in an episode. So that's why Sagittarius, whatever the hell his damn name is, he comes in right at the point where Adam's like, you know, "Well, I guess they're going to all find out. I'm going to grab my sword." And magically, Sagittar shows up and says, "No, don't worry about that." Like, Sagittar already fucking knows that Adam is He-Man. He doesn't, probably, but I'm saying, like, I hope they don't make that a point to show in each episode when Adam is the main character and not He-Man, you know, because that's going to get old fast if they do.
Yeah, I could see that. So I have no idea where they're going with this series. We'll see. I'm flying by the seat of my pants on this one. So All right, time for one more break. When we come back, we'll give you our final thoughts on these three episodes and what we're looking at next.
We'll be right back to the new adventures of He-Man.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Brain, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on GeekCast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Decian, the superhero webcomic. Decian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, drama, mayhem, and more, read it now at Decian.com. DASIEN.com. And for the new Decian podcast, go to patreon.com/Decian.
Welcome back to the new adventures of He-Man.
All right, we are back, and this is episode 84 of the Powers of Grayskull series, Masters in Space, and we've got 23 episodes left.
Absolutely. 23 left, guys. 23 left.
Mm-hmm. They can't come fast enough. These three today, okay, parts 4 and 5 are supposed to be the end of the five-part story. I don't see, after watching the first 5 episodes, even though we did episodes 1 through 3 on last week's episode and, you know, 4 and 5 today, I don't see how those 5 episodes are a continuous story. Other than the fact that, you know, hey, we're going to get, you know, we're going to get a 2.5-minute recap or a 5.5-minute recap or whatever, so you can, you know, be reminded of the episodes that you might have missed and yada yada yada. I don't see how any of the first 5 episodes tie into each other than the fact that, you know, He-Man and Skeletor go into the future, they make new friends and enemies and yada yada yada, but yeah, I don't see how that's an overall arcing story at all.
No, I'm with you. This is not a 5-parter. I don't get it at all. Confused.
Yep, very much so.
Anything else you want to bring up before we get the vlog out of here?
Only 23 left.
Only 23 left. Thank you for listening to the Masters in Space today. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts for this podcast and all the other podcasts we do. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this, folks. Leave us iTunes feedback and tell us why New Adventures is good, because I'm still not seeing it. Follow us on Twitter. The show Twitter is at Pow of Grayskull. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for the overall network Twitter. Mine is at TF2andMike, and your Twitter is
at Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the space. We gotta work on that. And don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes of the New Adventures of He-Man, which include The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword, or is it? Glassed what? What the hell does that say?
You can do it.
Glassed. I don't know.
Schmast Nost.
Whatever. Episode 9 will be The Youngest Hero. For now, I am TF2andMike with
the not confused Optimus Solo.
Hashtag not my He-Man.
Hashtag not my Skeletor.
Thus with the power of the good and the way of the magic.
Oh.